Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This program is sponsored by Every.Black Entrepreneurs Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse. And it says, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in purity." The Storytelling Time program this week is the third story coming from chapter 3 of the book, Heaven Can't Wait, or Can It? The Fruition. The title of the chapter is Cruising. And the title of the story is The Innocence of Youth. Before we start with our story, I would like you to consider the following tips for becoming an author. Before we start with our story, I'd like to share some ideas given from a minister about becoming an author. He shared his insight from a spiritual perspective. The minister's name is Dr. James Davis, former pastor of Grace AME Zion Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, and current pastor of Martin Temple AME Zion Church in Chicago. Take a listen to this.
But I will say that, you know, my mother ministry, she is now the missionary supervisor of the Western Episcopal District, Reverend Felika Hart Thompson, said to me one time before when I was talking to her about writing a book, she said, "Son, you write 52 sermons a year." She said, "You've already written a book." And I never thought about it like that. Oh, man, I never in my mind imagined that. I said, she is so right. In a sermon, when you write a manuscript, it's probably 12 to 15 pages, depending on how you formulate it down. I normally do Times New Romans, double space, but I got like a 15, 16 inch font so I can see, right? But you asked what I said. I referenced that story to say this. Everything that we need is already inside of us. And I'm preaching to myself right now. There's a saying that says the richest place in America is a graveyard because so many people die and never have really given all the wealth that they have out of themselves. And so I say that to say the only advice that I can really give and I'm giving to myself is your story is valuable to share. And then you have to ask what type of book you're trying to write. You know, if you're trying to write a self-help book, are you trying to write an autobiography of yourself? You know, you're trying to write a story of yourself. Are you trying to glean from an experience? One person told me this, just write and you can organize it later. And so that's one thing. The two things I will say is consider yourself and your story valuable enough to share. It is. I don't care how low you think it is. Or how you think it might not, you don't know, your story will help somebody. It will help somebody. I haven't had a chance to write my book in its entirety, but I have done presentations on the book I want to write. And the presentations and the motivational speaking that I've done with it, the stories that I get back are really bone shaking for me. So consider your story valuable enough to share and just write. You can formulate where it goes later. Don't worry about the commas and the periods and all that stuff. That's why they got editors. They do all that. This is just tell the story.
Let's take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Our story takes up again when Maggie's group goes on a cruise to Bermuda. On the first night of the voyage, Katie's son, Wynn, had different ideas. While most members of the group were preparing to attend a jazz concert, Wynn ended up at Mac's Soda Shop on the boardwalk area of the ship. He saw a young lady sitting alone at one of the tables. As she sipped on a beverage of some sort, Wynn went over and introduced himself.
"Hi there. My name is Wynn. I come from New York. What's your name?"
"Hi. My name is Jeannie."
"I sense you don't talk much, do you?"
With those words from Wynn, Jeannie turned her head appearing to be too shy to answer. But she did utter these words, with a little more conviction.
It's strange you would say that. Did I give you a reason to think I don't talk much?
Then Wen responded.
Oh, no, I didn't mean it that way. If I'm bothering you, I can leave.
No, you're fine.
As she paused for a moment, Jeannie thought to herself.
If only he knew what I was really thinking. He doesn't know that I think he's really, really fine, a fine and handsome guy. Now, Jeannie, don't you dare say that to him.
You seem to do more thinking than talking. But you know, that's fine. I like quiet girls.
Well, I'm not that quiet.
Okay, I get it. I believe you. I don't want to get on your bad side. My goodness, we've just met. Listen, you mind if I sit down and join you?
No, not at all.
After Jeannie made that reply, a waiter came to service them. He said,
May I help you two? We have a very attractive menu. I'll give you the list of choices and you can look over it. I'll return in a few minutes to accept your order.
Thank you, sir.
After a little while, as Wen and Jeannie looked over the menu, the waiter returned and they placed their order. While their food was being prepared, Wen began to talk some more to Jeannie. He wanted to learn as much as he could about her. He began by asking her a question.
Are you here with your folks?
Yeah. They're preparing to go to this jazz concert.
Hey, that's where my folks are planning to go.
Really?
Yeah, they really love music, especially jazz. But me, well, I like a variety of music. But I really love country songs.
I think that's a little unusual. A city guy like you liking country?
Unusual or not, that's what I like.
Okay.
Listen, Jeannie, tell me about your folks and how did they decide to come on this trip?
Well, it's like this. My natural father passed away a couple of months ago from a terminal illness.
Oh, no, Jeannie. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thanks. Anyway, my mom met this guy not too long after my father's funeral. His name is David. But without getting into the details, he came on so strongly when, and I think my mom was so weak at the time that she fell for his advances. But he smokes and drinks a lot, too, and on top of that, he sometimes uses vulgar language. He seems to be just a playboy. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I just don't think he's good for my mom, Wen. But she likes him. She may even love the guy, for crying out loud. But I really don't think she's gotten over the loss of my father yet. Anyway, he agreed to go on this cruise with us. My mom and I had already made plans to go.
After giving Wen that information, Jeannie started to get emotional and reveal something else to him. She said, almost crying,
Let me tell you something else. One day, when we were alone, this man even tried to hit on me. Yeah, he got so close to me, Wen, that I could smell his breath.
Oh, no, Jeannie. He didn't. That son of a...
Now, Wen, don't you get angry about something that my stepfather did, and I can take care of myself. But it's just the idea of him doing that, Wen, or at least trying to do something I feel was inappropriate, something very wrong for him to do.
Well, you're better than me. I just don't have any patience for that kind of thing.
Wen continued to express his feelings about the matter, revealing his dismay. While Wen responded, almost in anger, the truth be told, he wanted to get close to Jeannie too. They continued talking to each other, and he comforted Jeannie by saying,
Here, take this tissue and dry your eyes, and try not to worry about things like that.
As Jeannie took and used what was offered by her new friend, she said through the sniffles,
I'm so glad we met, Wen.
After using the tissue to touch herself up a little, to wipe away the tears, she perked up and said to him,
Let me ask you a question, Wen. I often ask myself, why does a grown-up like my stepfather act the way he does sometimes? I mean, being disrespectful to me as a kid and as a female.
Well, Jeannie, maybe it's because of the guy's history. I mean, the way he was brought up. I know I'd never do some of the things that you said he did with you, like coming on to you like the way you said he did. I know my mother has always taught me to respect women, as well as grown-ups, like your stepfather. But there's something in me that makes me angry towards people like that.
Well, I know what my mom would say, and that is that you must forgive people like that. That people like my stepfather don't really know what he's doing half the time. I've heard her quote this scripture, and I don't know where it comes from in the Bible. But she says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but with powers we can't see, like spirits." In other words, it's not people's physical presence that we have to be concerned with. It's with their spirit, whether they have an evil spirit or not. And that's what my mom says.
Well, it's kind of difficult to figure out, ain't it? What someone's spirit is like? What's inside a person? I mean, if you were able to do that, we can make a lot of money being fortune tellers.
You're funny, Wynn. But yeah, that's what my mom says, that we're in a spiritual warfare with the enemy.
Yeah, I've heard that expression, the enemy. I've heard my mother use it, but I'm not clear about what it means.
Well, I have an idea. I think it means any influences that try to keep us as believers from doing what God wants us to do.
These evil influences you're talking about, I guess that means Satan, the devil? My, my, you sure don't hear those names much these days.
When there's a reason for that. I believe, at least based on some of the things I've heard my mom say, and you mentioned that you don't hear much about the devil these days. Well, it's a perfect example of what the enemy is all about. And that is Satan, the devil, the enemy, whatever you want to refer to these evil influences as. His objective is not to have his name out there. In this way, he can continue to be behind all the evil that's going on in the world today. He knows his name represents evil, but he wants to be looked at as anything but evil. It's a kind of deception that he uses, and that's what it says in Revelation 12 and 9.
You sure know your scriptures.
Yeah, that comes from a lot of Sunday school and my mom discussing spiritual topics. Anyway, I don't have to tell you when. There is a lot of evil going on in the world today, and we as believers have to be aware of that. At least that's what my mom says.
That's interesting.
And another thing, there is a scripture I know my mom loves to quote, and it's Matthew 18:3, which says that if you want to make it into God's kingdom, we must become like children. We have to set an example to the adults how to love and respect each other. So maybe we can teach the grown-ups a thing or two, Wynn.
You know, you're funny too, Jeannie.
Wynn returned the compliment that Jeannie had given him earlier. The both of them now seem very comfortable with each other, enjoying each other's company. We're going to take a break, and when we return, both Jeannie and Wynn will talk about their backgrounds, as well as their plans for the cruise. Stay with us. Welcome back. We continue now with the conversation between Jeannie and Wynn.
You know, you're funny too, Jeannie.
Oh, Wynn, to change the subject, you say you're from New York, huh?
That's right. Born and raised there.
Well, I'm from New Jersey.
Oh, really? Well, that's just across the river from the city.
Well, even though we're from New Jersey, I come with my mom sometimes over to Manhattan to shop.
My mom has been there, but I've never been to Manhattan. And based on what she says, it's crazy over there. Do you know one time she said someone was playing the banjo nearly in the nude with just underwear on in the middle of Times Square? Now, Jeannie, you know that's just plain weird. Or like my mother says, crazy. Where I live in Staten Island, we don't have to put up with that kind of thing.
I can't believe that, Wynn. I mean, what you said about someone playing a banjo in the nude or nearly nude in the middle of all those people?
Well, it's true, Jeannie, at least based on my mother's account. I wouldn't lie to you.
Okay, I believe you.
Anyway, Jeannie, let me ask you something. How long do you plan to be in Bermuda? You and your family are staying there for a while, aren't you?
Well, they'll be here Sunday.
Hey, let me guess. Will you happen to be returning on the 4 o'clock cruise back to New York?
Why, yes. That's when we're going back.
Well, We're going back on that cruise liner, too, so we'll be able to see each other again while going back to New York.
That's great. I'm so glad you all are going back when we are, Wynn. I guess we'll be seeing a lot of each other over the next few days.
Well, I sure hope so. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Let's take another break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. After several hours of chatter, Wynn said,
"It's been so nice just sitting here talking with you. I guess it's about time to leave. Let me walk you back to your cabin, and then I can continue to my room. I really need to take a shower. I washed up a little bit after playing basketball, but I really need to get back and freshen up more in my room."
Jeannie was intrigued with what Wynn last told her. So, to satisfy her curiosity, she asked,
"Wynn, do you have your own room?" "Well, I guess they call them cabins here on the ship."
"Yeah, it's a cabin. That's what they're called. But yeah, I was rooming with my mother, but she decided to move in with a friend of hers who came with us on this trip. Her friend was in the cabin by herself, so my mother decided to move in with her and left me in the room. So I'm here, all by myself."
"Wow, it must be nice having your own room and all. I mean, cabin."
"Yeah, it's real nice. And you're right. Lodging accommodations on a cruise liner are called cabins. You need to remember that. You know you're on an ocean vessel now, not back in New York."
Okay, I feel you."
"Well, it's time to leave this table now, Jeannie. We've been here quite some time. And here's the waiter that served us."
"I hope you two enjoyed your food."
"It was fine. You provided great service."
"Thank you, sir. You and the Miz here, you two have a good day. And I'll have our busboy come and take your plates and clean the table. But stay as long as you like. I don't want to rush you."
"That's fine. We're about to leave. I'll place my payment information on the table."
"No, Wynn. Let me take part of the bill."
"No worries, Jeannie. I have everything covered. Well, let's head back to your room."
"To my cabin, Wynn, remember?"
"Like you told me, Jeannie. You're funny."
We're going to take another break, and we'll be right back to finish the story. Welcome back. While many in Maggie's group anticipated going to a jazz concert that evening, Wynn and Jeannie had their own plans. As for Wynn, he did very little unpacking when they arrived on the ship. His focus was being in Bermuda. He knew that soon they all would be at this island paradise. Now, he had other interests. That would be Jeannie. They had planned to see more of each other that evening. Yes, he was much more interested in spending his evening with Jeannie. Both Wynn and Jeannie had experienced the innocence of youth on this first night of the cruise. Like those who attended the jazz concert, everyone was experiencing the abundant life that God had intended from the very beginning. Well, that's all for today. In closing, I'd like to say, and would like you to remember, whatever you may be going through, whether good or bad, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.